is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick to the Atlanta Falcons, and also a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes back in the early 90s. Pritch, kind enough to be hanging out with us here on this Friday morning. Coming up in 15 minutes, our buddy Adam Burke, VSiN's managing editor, also contributed heavily to our VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Make sure you check that out he does the College Football Podcast, but also the College Football Betting Guide, I should say. You can get that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Adam will be joining us in 15 minutes to break down week zero, 24 hours away from the college football season getting underway. Cannot wait for it. But, Pritch, let's break down some of the NFL news and notes from around the league and some headlines that we want to ask you in a game that we like to call here, and this is critically acclaimed, by the way, a game called Oh Hell Yeah, Oh Hell Nah here on a Friday morning in downtown Las Vegas. So the first one, Pritch, I don't know if you noticed yesterday, there's been a lot of wheeling and dealing in the desert, not here in Las Vegas, but in the Valley of the Sun in Arizona, where the Arizona Cardinals yesterday made three trades, two of which were former first-round picks, one of them being Josh Jones, the other one being Isaiah Simmons. They traded them for seventh-rounders. They also traded for quarterback Josh Dobbs. So the Cardinals made a flurry of trades, which leads me to ask you and say this statement, that Kyler Murray, their quarterback, could be next in the Cardinals' flurry of trades with a new head coach and a new general manager. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell
no. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. Or hell to the no. I mean,
that's a new one.
I've heard this, and I've seen people speculate, okay, Kyler Murray, he's next to get traded. I'm like, who's going to trade for that contract one?
It's a big one.
And then who's going to trade for that player? Kyler Murray is soft. Kyler Murray is not a leader. Kyler Murray is barely a quarterback right now. And I get it. The intrigue about Kyler Murray when he came out and he was the number one overall pick. That was a catered situation. Think about it. The GM who knew the coach, you get rid of Wilkes, you get rid of other coaches, and okay, you got Kingsbury that comes in who's never been a head coach before, barely an offensive coordinator, but he knows what Kyler Murray does offensively with his skill set. Would you rather have Lincoln Riley? Yeah. But Lincoln Riley wasn't going there. So you go out and get somebody he hired as an offensive coordinator, somebody who knows Kyler Murray. I mean, Lincoln Riley, look at the quarterbacks in the Heisman Trophy he's produced with that offense, right?
A lot of them.
So to think that that's going to work in the National Football League, you need Lincoln Riley, not Cliff Kingsbury. And so where is Kyler going to go that people understand Kyler and the fact that since high school, he's been in the same offense. He has not been in any other offense. What do you do with that? And then who do you find to want to work with that? And that attitude and that salary. I mean, good luck trying to trade this guy, because who's going to want that salary and who's going to want to trade for him? So I hear it. Yeah, go ahead and tank for Caleb Williams. Is it because the Cardinals did that before? They had Josh Rosen. Oh, get rid of him. Let's get Kyler Murray. Is that why people think they're going to tank for Caleb Williams? I don't know. But I don't know what they do with this guy. I guess you could tank it and then move on, but then what are you going to do with your salary cap, right?
Yeah, paid a lot of money.
If you draft a quarterback again, like you did with Josh Rosen and then Kyler Murray.
Now, the difference in this situation, though, is that Monty Austin Ford, the general manager, and Jonathan Gannon, the head coach, did not select Kyler Murray.
Right.
It was the same regime. At least Steve Keim was the same general manager who took Josh Rosen, then a year later took Kyler Murray. So I guess he was like, all right, let me just kind of right my wrong or wash my hands with this Josh Rosen thing. There's no sweat equity from Monty Austin Fort and Jonathan Gannon. Like, those guys are just evaluating everything. And maybe when they evaluate the situation, they think, we like this Caleb Williams guy better, and let's go this route, and maybe let's try to sniff around and see if we can find a trade partner. Like the Minnesota Vikings right now, their quarterback doesn't have a contract or a year left in his contract after this season. What if they sniffed around and said, well, maybe we don't lose enough games to get the top pick, to where you go ahead and trade for Murray and you take on that contract? But I mean, I guess they did figure out their salary cap this year. So that'd be taking on a big contract after fixing your salary cap woes. But I'm just kicking teams around here. Like, maybe there's a team that's out there that's willing to take on the contract that doesn't have an avenue to getting one of these young quarterbacks that's coming up in the draft.
So O'Connell's been groomed in the McVay system. It led to an incredible start for him up there in Minnesota using the McVay system. Zach Taylor's using it, certainly Joe Burrow. A lot of teams are using the McVay, Kyle Shanahan, whatever you want to use from a tree standpoint. How does Kyler fit in that? He's never played in that. And it's like, do you take a chance with that, especially when you have Justin Jefferson that you're about to give a monster contract to? I fit is so valuable in the National Football League. Because if you don't have fit as a coach, you're fired. Period.
Fit or fired.
Fit or fired.
Maybe that's a new segment. Fit or fired.
Yeah.
On the Lombardi line. But no, your point is well taken here. And the contract, I think, is the big hiccup here for Kyler Murray there. But let's get to the next headline.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs, Raiders star running back, should wait until the week of the season opener to sign the franchise tag and report to the Raiders. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell no.
Hell yes. Hell yes. Do it. Do it. Don't have an epiphany like Saquon did. Don't miss them dollars.
I forgot that's the word they used. I had an epiphany.
Yeah. Josh, really? Josh, you rode this thing out this long. Go ahead and apply leverage. And here's what I mean by that, because a lot of people are saying he doesn't have leverage, Josh Jacobs. He does, because there's $10 million accounted for right now on the salary cap. Raiders only have $3 million. But they have to account for $10 million, thinking that someday Josh Jacobs is going to show up. They also have a roster spot. Say you're down to these numbers and you got cut, what, next week? Cuts are next week. And then you have a roster spot. You're like, ooh, wait a minute. We got Josh Jacobs still out there. When is he coming in? And if he comes in right during the week of game one preparation, now you have to evolve and adapt and make some moves and all this stuff if you're the Raiders. Now, maybe they've accounted for that. Who knows? I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you plan that, especially from a roster spot standpoint. So other teams are going to release players that you're going to want if you're the Raiders, and you certainly can use. But what do you do with this valuable roster spot with Josh Jacobs? And I think if you're Josh Jacobs at this point, all you want is the ability to be a free agent next year. Mm-hmm. Like, if you remove you put in a clause that you cannot franchise tag me next year, I'm coming in. But if not, I'm coming in when it's going to hurt you guys. And you got to have to make a decision from a roster spot standpoint and certainly a salary cap standpoint once I apply my $10 million.
Yeah. I think this has been Jacobs' plan the whole time.
Yeah.
Show up the week of the game, sign the tag, play the season out, and then we'll do this dance once again next year.
Hopefully without a franchise tag.
Hopefully without a franchise tag. Jonathan Taylor's also hoping that as well. He's been given an imposed deadline on when he can seek a trade partner. So I ask you this. Jonathan Taylor will be traded before Tuesday's team-imposed deadline. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell not.
Oh, man. For the player, I want to say oh, hell yeah, but unfortunately, I think it's all hell no, because, I mean, it's all I got to say is Ursay cut Peyton Manning. Jonathan Taylor, good luck with whatever you're trying to do right now.
You are not Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
good player.
Yeah, but Peyton Manning got cut. They're going to want something for you, and I don't know what teams are going to give up. If there's a team desperate enough, maybe they can give the Colts what they want. But when you say you can go seek a trade, that's for your agent to go out there and make some phone calls and all this stuff. And it's just a difficult situation, because obviously JT doesn't want to play there, knowing that his future from an economic standpoint is limited. But he's got to stay healthy too. He's got to get healthy. And I think he's not going to go out there until he's healthy. So it's a situation that I think once he's back on the field for the Colts, he's going to be okay. But in terms of a trade, I want to say all hell no, because it's just a difficult prospect to see a guy like that traded right now.
This next one, Pritch, I didn't realize was going to make its way onto the rundown when I tweeted this out yesterday while watching preseason games. But I tweeted this. Watching the preseason, especially when I was watching the Pittsburgh Steelers, I said, I do find it interesting that established Super Bowl winning head coaches like Tomlin, Carroll, Reed, Harbaugh, and Belichick feel that they need to get their starters serious work in the preseason. Tomlin, of course, we read the quotes about him and why he wanted to get his guys worked in the preseason as well. So I put it to you this way. More NFL teams should give starters significant playing time throughout the NFL preseason. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, these coaches are all old school coaches. You know, you think about it. And man, to think, and again, the game has changed because of health reasons, and I get that. But to think that at one time we had 6 preseason games. Right? If you think about that, you know, there were still Hall of Famers. There was still incredible football played in the 70s and all that. 6 preseason.
They had like the Tokyo Bowl or whatever. Sure. Right? Out to Tokyo.
I played in that. We had 4. You know, sometimes we had 5 preseason games. And on top of that, too, we had 2-a-days and pads. Wow. To think that that's really took place. So, no, iron sharpens iron. It's not tissue sharpening tissue. Like Hackett tried to do. But there is a new way of thinking. You know, there is the CBA out there. There is, you know, rules that you can only have certain number of contact days because of health and safety, which I'm all for, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But if you can get some work done, if you put cleats on for a living, come on, Femi. You can go out there and run 14 plays and avoid injury, significant injury if you can. Yeah. You should. I agree with those guys. You know, iron sharpens iron. Get out there and play. Get ready for the season.
It's a quote that I've been saying all preseason. Football players have to play football to get ready to play football.
All right, Trent Dilfer.
That's the reality of the preseason. Adam Burke joins us next, talking college football week 0.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's the Lombardi Line. We're rolling along here on a Friday morning in downtown Las Vegas. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard here hanging out and joining us now to talk some college football, because Pritch, week 0 kicks off tomorrow. College football snuck up on us, got here before we even know it. And to help us preview college football, he is our VSiN managing editor, also was in charge of the phenomenal VSiN college football betting guide, which you should have by now, because like I said, week 0 is tomorrow. Quit being a slacker. VSiN.com/subscribe. He is the one and only Adam Burke joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Adam, we appreciate you taking the time this morning. Week 0's coming up, buddy. Let's start with the marquee game of the week 0 slate, and that is Navy and Notre Dame. I'm seeing right now the Fighting Irish 20.5-point favorites, total 49. Game's going to be played over in Ireland. How do those conditions factor into the total? What do you make of this game, side and total, Navy and the Fighting Irish?
Well, first, thanks for dropping that managing editor title. I think you're the first host who's done that for me so far. So,
hey, Elliot put it on the rundown. So right. There you go. I don't know if you paid him off before we got this thing going.
Yeah, he knows the Venmo's good. He got it this morning. Yeah. Look, I think this Navy-Notre Dame game is actually really fascinating, and I don't have a bet on side or total here in this one, but basically everything about college football this season is in play. The transfer portal with Sam Hartman, now the starting quarterback at Notre Dame, the coaching carousel. This will be the first game for Navy without Ken Niumatalolo really on the sideline since 2001. He was the head coach for 15 years, offensive coordinator for 5 years before that. So, you know, you see the coaching turnover, you see the transfer portal. You're also going to see the two prominent rule changes in college football this year, which is the clock doesn't stop after a first down, and the cut block rules are different. So you have to cut block inside the tackle box. You can't do it on the outside. So the Service Academy team is going to more of a spread option than the traditional triple option that they've run. So this game kind of has a little bit of everything in it, including the fact that I think it's a difficult handicap. You know, when you play Navy, the game has a limited number of possessions and you have a limited number of plays. So that makes it a little bit more difficult for Notre Dame to go out there and win this game by margin. And I also think if you're the Fighting Irish, you want to get Sam Hartman as many throws as possible in this game to get him acclimated with his new offense. So there are 25 different storylines in this game, all leading me to stay away from it, including, as you mentioned, a game in Ireland and the fact that it's supposed to be wet and rainy, which is not a big surprise.
Yeah, Adam, great points. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, too. I mean, you know, from a service academy standpoint, too, the weight restrictions were relaxed a little bit because you got a little bit more time to get underweight now. And so you're seeing a different athlete at these service academies. And the first game of the year is always that big unknown, I think, and certainly gone through it as a player. And it's like what you just mentioned about Notre Dame. Did they try to use this as a preseason game, right? Hey, we're going to win. And then, okay, that comes, you know, the spread comes in play here, depending on how the Irish will treat this football game. I agree with you. Staying away might be the play in this game.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, they play Tennessee State in week two, so they're going to have a legitimate preseason game when they get back stateside after a full week of practice. But still, you know, and that's a great point you make about Navy kind of relaxing some of the weight restrictions. Also, service academies can't use the transfer portal for obvious reasons. So, you know, what you see with that roster is kind of what you get year in and year out. So that's another thing to really keep in mind about this game. And look, for Notre Dame, I mean, if you're going to face the option, now is the time to do it because you've had all summer to prep for it as opposed to doing it in the span of, you know, 4 or 5 days on game week. So there's also that in the equation. I really can't argue with anybody taking either side of this game or either side of the total because I think you can justify any one of those positions.
Yeah, to me, it almost sounds like a live betting game. I know that's kind of a cop-out sometimes. It's like, oh, I'm going to wait to live wager, but I mean, maybe this, with all these storylines, like how could you actually get a firm grasp of a pre-flop handicap here with this game, Navy and Notre Dame? We're speaking with Adam Burke, VSiN Managing Editor, also in charge of the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, which you should have by now. Let's talk about the 5 o'clock game on the West Coast, 8 o'clock Eastern. That's USC hosting San Jose State. Trojans 30.5 point favorites. The return of the Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams. Is this the year that USC can finally get into that college football playoff, or do we see a little bit of a regression after perhaps some turnover luck a season ago?
Yeah, I'll be really interested to see what happens with this team. And Caleb Williams is a guy I don't have to worry about. I know he's going to go out there and be an elite player and maybe be the best player in college football, as the Heisman Trophy odds suggest. I am really interested, though, to see what USC's defense looks like in this game. While San Jose State is not a Pac-12 team, and the Pac-12, by the way, this year is pretty darn good. San Jose State has a very experienced quarterback in Chevin Cordero. Brent Brennan is obviously a smart offensive mind. This is not some, you know, some patsy that you can run over in week zero here if you're the USC defense. We need to see actual improvement from that unit. I don't know if we will. If we do, even though it is San Jose State, it will change my opinion a little bit of the Trojans going forward. But just as a side story, and I write a situational betting spots piece every week over VSiN.com, these little brother versus big brother games fascinate me. I mean, this is effectively San Jose State's Super Bowl. You know, if they play in the Mountain West title game, that will become their Super Bowl. They're not expected to do that. So this is arguably the biggest game of the year for the Spartans. California kids being able to play against the big school that probably didn't recruit them. I always love kind of seeing these games because you know you're getting max effort from the underdog, but sometimes the favorite is just that much better. So the USC defense is in the spotlight for me, but I think San Jose State will be as fired up as humanly possible for this one. And I don't know if the Trojans can match that intensity.
You know, Adam, is there a chance in this next game, Ohio, SDSU, San Diego State University, in terms of laying an attractive number with a favorite, a home favorite here? Brady Hoke comes back to SDSU, and just a caliber of athlete I know about that's around San Diego and that area, and also the Mountain West from a transfer portal standpoint. I'm just curious, is there an opportunity here getting an attractive number under a key number with SDSU?
Yeah, I think this is a tricky one, too. I mean, I have San Diego State a half-point favorite in my power ratings, so this one has moved down towards my number a little bit. We've seen a little bit of buyback on the Aztec side. I think the biggest question about this game is how healthy and how agile Curtis Rourke is, the quarterback for Ohio. Yeah. Coming off of a major injury at the end of last year, he's a true dual-threat player that has to have his legs. Otherwise, if you can kind of make him play left-handed, so to speak, and be one-dimensional, that plays right into what San Diego State would want him to do. So I don't know. I mean, it's obviously an interesting spot. Ohio playing way out west for the first time since 2015, at least in terms of the regular season. They did play the Arizona Bowl last year against Wyoming. But I think it's a tough game because I think San Diego State is probably the better team, but Ohio has the best player on the field in Curtis Rourke. So at 2.5, I could see why people would be interested in San Diego State, but I can also see why this line came through the key number of 3.
Adam, you do have a bet in the FIU Louisiana Tech game. Right now, I'm looking at the consensus number. La Tech, 11.5-point favorites, total 58. What do you like in that one?
Yeah, real barn burner here. The game of the week for everybody, I'm sure.
Highest handle, I think, is what I heard earlier.
Oh, I'm sure. I talked about this one with Tim Murray on the College Football Podcast, and I was like, what do you think? This game got like 5 bets over the summer, like 5 bets total. This line has moved up throughout the week, though, and it's moving toward my number. I have Louisiana Tech a 16.5-point favorite in this game, so it's the biggest overlay that I had in week 1, and I do need a little bit bigger of an over week 0. I do need a bigger overlay in week 0 just because, as Pritch mentioned, a lot of fact-finding missions going on this week. I'm trying to learn a lot about these teams. But this one is gradually moving towards my number, and I think Louisiana Tech will be a lot better this year. I think Sonny Cumbie has a chance to be a really good head coach. He's a disciple of the air raid offense, and now he's got Hank Bachmeier in there at quarterback, the Boise State transfer, who was a top 15 quarterback in his class and a guy that's a very experienced starter. I think Louisiana Tech's defense should be better almost by default this year, but also, you know, use of the transfer portal and all that. I think FIU is just not very good. Grayson James is a baller, but other than that, not a whole lot around him. I think Cumbie and Louisiana Tech are going to surprise some people this year. So I got the 10.5 earlier in the week. Now that it's up to 11.5, 12, we're kind of reaching a point where the value has been extracted. I wouldn't play it at 13 or higher, but I think, you know, 11.5, 12 is still a good grab on the Bulldogs.
Yeah, where we're sitting right here at Circa, they've gone to 13, but there's still a lot of 12s and 11.5s. As always, the pro tip across every show at VSiN, shop around. We have 20 seconds left, Adam. Anything week 1 that you're already eyeing to give folks a little bit of an appetizer?
No, unfortunately, it's still baseball season, so I still have to be keeping up with that and kind of take college football week by week. But one thing I want to mention here at the tail end, we're releasing an updated add-on to our NFL betting guide coming up this Thursday with some stuff on each of the teams throughout the preseason, what Lombardi's seen and heard with the 32 teams, some contest strategies, a lot of good stuff coming in that quick little add-on, and a best bet from everybody on air coming out Thursday at VSiN.com for pro subscribers.
There we go. Right. He is Adam Burke, our VSiN managing editor. Also did a terrific job on our VSiN college football betting guide, breaking down college football week 0 as well. Adam, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk soon.
Take care, boys.
All right. Some news and notes from around the NFL on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL guide is due out later this month and will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategy. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and receive your copy of the guide, or take advantage of our football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. We are presented by BetMGM. He's Mike Pritchard. I'm Femi Bebefe. Thank you to Adam Burke, VSiN managing editor. Also helped put together all of these guys that we're talking about, the VSiN college football betting guide, the NFL betting guide, and also this upcoming NFL betting guide, which we encourage everyone to check out later on this week, or next week, I should say. Thank you to Adam for joining us, talking some college football week 0. Speaking of Adam's pick, he likes Louisiana Tech laying. So he bet minus 11.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I believe it's 11.5, the consensus number. But over at the South Point, they just moved to 13. And Adam said he likes it up to 12.5. He said that he would still bet 11.5, 12, 12.5, but at 13, it's a little bit too rich. So go ahead and shop around. There's some 12 still out there. There's an 11.5 I'm seeing out there here in Las Vegas and other places as well. So as always, if you want to go ahead and tell Adam or tell any of our people, check it out at VSiN.com/picks. You can find out all of our VSiN experts and what they like in college football week 0. But Pritch, let's talk NFL, in particular the position that you used to play, wide receiver, because this week, we've seen a number of wide receiver injuries. The biggest one being yesterday as it pertains to week one availability, and that's Jerry Jeudy of the Denver Broncos. Reports are that Jeudy was carted off after suffering what they're calling a moderate hamstring injury, but they say the diagnosis and the rehab is going to be several weeks, which has put his week one status now in doubt. Denver Broncos hosting the Las Vegas Raiders 2 weeks from Sunday. Right now, the line, Denver 4-point favorites is the consensus here. Jeudy's absence, what does that do for this Denver Broncos offense that's already down a number of wide receivers? Tim Patrick already got hurt, out for the season, and also KJ Hamler dealing with his health issue as well. Like, if Jeudy doesn't play,
right
now it's just Courtland Sutton and friends.
Yeah. I mean, the big impact to me was Tim Patrick, though. I mean, Tim Patrick gave this Broncos offense another dimension and something different, even with Sean Payton as a coordinator bringing in his system. But Jerry Jeudy getting hurt, and I think this is significant because hamstring, you're not going to mess around with a hamstring. Because if you go back out there too soon and you do more damage to it, now several weeks turns into half a season, right? So you're going to make sure that that thing is completely healed before Jerry Jeudy comes out there, gets back out there. That could be 4 to 6 weeks if you're talking about hamstrings and partial tears and stuff like that. So it's no different than Joe Burrow with the calf. You know, they have the time is on their side in Cincinnati. The thing, what I'm looking at with Jerry Jeudy and the Broncos and Sean Payton is, does their offense change without Jerry Jeudy, or does it stay the same? Like, do they have capable players that can still run and do things that Jerry Jeudy can do? Or is he impactful enough to where, okay, Sean Payton's got to go, I don't know, two tight ends, different formations, different personnel, and then therefore you're just different offensively. I don't know if that's the case. They got a rookie stepping in, and certainly they want to be three wide receivers out there. They got some veteran players, Callaway, for instance.
Yep, signed him from the Saints.
Yeah, who's been in the system. So to me, with Callaway there, and I know you're going to miss Jeudy and the production that Jeudy can give you, but the nuances and the fact that Callaway knows the offense, with Courtland Sutton, and then you got a rookie out there as a wide receiver, it seems to me that Denver can still run everything they've been working on all preseason. So it's impactful only because you would love to have the upside of Jerry Jeudy out there, but it's not going to compromise Sean Payton at all and what they want to do offensively, though.
And where I think it's really impactful is that towards the end of last season, it felt like Russell Wilson and Jerry Jeudy started to form like a chemistry and form a bond, and like where Jeudy was sort of his safety blanket there. Now, him being taken off the field, Russell Wilson's going to have to go elsewhere. Their receiver depth chart without Jeudy, it's Courtland Sutton, it's Marvin Mims, who they traded up in the draft to get, Brandon Johnson, then Marquez Callaway, who they signed from the New Orleans Saints, familiarity with Sean Payton's system, and then Kendall Hinton, the once-upon-a-time starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos in that one game that we all chose to forget back in the COVID season. But I just think, and because I actually acted on this Jeudy news.
Okay.
I went ahead and took some Raiders plus 4.5 because I think the number's a little steep here. I thought it was a little steep before the Jeudy injury, but now with the Jeudy injury, these division games, I think that we just oftentimes forget that they're played so much closer than we actually think, especially early in the season. And I know that there's not the same familiarity because Sean Payton's coming in with a new offense and all that stuff, but people know what Sean Payton likes to run. Like, this isn't the first time head coach. He's been a coach for a number of years. And I think that just like the rivalries, the familiarity that you have, and also the fact that, I mean, like, Vegas is used to going up to Denver. Like, while there should be an advantage due to early season altitude because the teams don't necessarily have their legs underneath them, I think the Raiders are at least one of the better teams that's equipped to handle that since they go up to Denver every single year. And I also think that when you bet into week one markets, a lot of these markets are shaped off of perception. And if there's any value with this game, how is it not on the Raiders' side? Because if anything, all offseason we've heard about Sean Payton is so much better than Nathaniel Hackett. Like, Denver is going to be better because of Sean Payton. And on the flip side, Raiders are awful. Win total under, to where now we have this spread of 4.5. If there's any value, I feel like we're wrong on the Raiders being bad, unless maybe the Raiders are the worst team in the league. Maybe that's the case. But I think that we're more wrong on the Raiders side than we are on the Denver side.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, so getting back to my point about will Sean Payton be able to still run what he wants to run and what they worked on all offseason? Yeah. And so, okay, how are the Raiders going to deal with that too? And, you know, Chandler Jones, for whatever reason, hasn't practiced that much, which, okay, Tyree Wilson just now getting back onto the practice field. What is the Raiders defense going to be like? I think that's the big mystery. Mm-hmm. And then if Josh Jacobs doesn't get into camp, I mean, I get it. You drafted with White from Georgia, but he's no Josh Jacobs. And so there is the unknown right there. And getting up to altitude, you can get in shape as much as you want. That first quarter, you're going to be gassed, though.
No, that's true.
Especially the first game of the year. Because you got to get acclimated. You got to get used to that stuff. So, you know, the Raiders have got some run in them. We'll see what they do against Dallas as far as their starters. But the Judy injury does not impact it enough for me. Mm. You know, that number is not attractive, though, to lay it. That's for sure. So if anything, I'm looking at would be the Raiders side, just based on a betting perspective and the number that we see on the screen right now.
Yeah. To me, like, this entire offseason, it's been Raiders or pass. And yesterday, I went ahead and bet Raiders. Yeah. So Raiders plus 4.5 is now officially a bet for me in this game. But Judy's not the only wide receiver that has the injury situation going on. Terry McLaurin of the Washington Commanders, who got hurt in their Monday night win over the Baltimore Ravens, snapping that 24-game win streak. McLaurin now has a turf toe injury. And it doesn't sound like it's the worst version of turf toe, but anytime I hear turf toe, especially for a skill position guy, I think, uh-oh, this could be bad. Like, I always think back to Deion Sanders when he had turf toe in the late 90s and then, like, how it kind of plagued him the rest of his career there. And I'm not saying that's going to happen to Terry McLaurin, but it's something that I think should be treated as, all right, let's be careful with this, which maybe that holds him out of this week one game when they take on the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Commanders 7-point favorites. The total is at 38.5. It's such a low total. We don't know who's going to start for the Cardinals as of right now. But on the Commander side of things, they have a deep wide receiver room, but McLaurin is their best guy, and he's one of the best in the league.
Yeah, but does it affect how, though? Will it affect the ability for Eric Bieniemy to call what he wants to call? McLaurin, he's a playmaker. He really is. Now, a turf toe is a sprained ligament. I mean, it's significant enough to where you got to let that thing heal or get to the heal or protect it. Much like you would do with a sprained knee or whatever, you can do wrapping. You know, a lot of people put that steel plate in a shoe to help it stay structured and secure. But it's painful. You know, you might get an injection and stuff, but depending on the severity of it. I mean, McLaurin is such a dynamic player. He's in my top 20, obviously, high in my top 20. But I don't know if it's going to compromise what they want to do offensively. And Arizona, I've said this before, they're just a horrible franchise. It's a horrible franchise and no momentum at all for that football team. So, I mean, it's a tough number to lay again without a key player. But as far as the injury, I mean, I think McLaurin's going to be available, like, if he needs to be. But maybe if you can get some extra time and some extra rest there, get him back for that following game in week two.
I think this game is just a pass for me. like you said, like, Arizona's just a horrible organization. They're probably going to play hard and all that stuff, but I don't want to take plus 7 when I don't even know who the quarterback is, and I don't want to lay 7 either because we've only seen one start of Sam Howell. I'm optimistic that he can be good this season, but it's only been one start, and I don't want to lay 7 with a guy who I've only seen play one time in the National Football League. So the McLaurin injury, definitely monitor that over the next couple of weeks. Also, Jaxon Smith-Njigba underwent surgery on his wrist, the Seahawks rookie wide receiver. Sounds like he's expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks. I doubt he plays week one, but he's a rookie. He's not really impactful to the points.
Yeah, and then also Seattle's still going to run what they want to run.
Yeah.
Yeah, even with that injury.
Which is the key thing. Does it change what they want to do offensively? It doesn't in the most cases here. All right, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Use a BetMGM bonus bet to place your next wager on any game in any sport. To receive your bonus bet, simply log into your BetMGM account today to bet on any game of your choice. Then add any type of bet on any game to your bet slip and activate your bonus bet. There is no deposit or additional wager required. 72 hours to log in to claim and to use the bonus bet after you log in. This bonus bet is on the house. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Promotion may differ per customer. 21 plus to wager. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in most states. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line. We are presented by BetMGM. Femi Abefe, Mike Pritchard, fun show over these couple of hours. We thank our two guests, David Kurtenbach, Bay Area News Group, 49ers beat reporter. Then, of course, we thank Adam Burke, our VSiN managing editor, was in charge of our college football betting guide, also the NFL betting guide, and the NFL updated betting guide, which is coming out next Thursday. Make sure you check that out over at vsin.com/subscribe. Before we continue further, Pritch, let's give out our pro tip for the day. Check out all our pro tips at vsin.com/tips. And this one comes from our discussion in the last segment about these injuries. And when analyzing the impact of injuries in the NFL, you have to consider what the absence means to the team and their offensive or defensive scheme. Because if it doesn't really change their scheme, maybe you don't overreact too much in trying to rush to bet a team or bet against a team that has an injured key player.
Right, and also the depth of a football team too. I mean, we hear so much about power rankings or even Billy Walters and the fact that how he handicaps and certain putting a value on every single player. We've heard that clip throughout the network and certainly cannot wait to dive into that book. But the value of a player is so important to what we did as a former player and as a team and as what we're trying to do offensively or defensively. And that's why the quarterback means so much. Like if you lose your starting quarterback, okay, you're going to lose one, the ability of that, but then also the preparation of that. But then what can a backup quarterback do? Right. A lot of times backup quarterbacks are limited unless you have a backup quarterback that's more than capable. And then now you don't lose a stride. Right. And those teams, you can identify that. We identified that last year. San Francisco identified that, right? As long as you have that strong roster. But I think when you think about injuries, when did they occur? How long is that injury? Is it going to compromise the execution of the offense or the defense, that particular unit? If it doesn't, and if they have somebody more incapable, then you're not going to lose anything, right? And I think preparation will be the same too. Now, if there's an impactful injury right before a game, okay, that's obviously going to compromise your scheme, your game plan, and everything. So understanding that, I think, will help you understand injury situations more so than the hype of the player, right? That's a great pro tip, I believe, as you navigate throughout the season.
Yeah, you can check out all of our pro tips over at vsin.com/tips. We do one every single show to help you become a better. All right, Pritch, we got 7 minutes left. Let's get to tonight's preseason slate. Three games on the card, all of them national TV, so we'll be able to see these games in action. Mike always makes fun of me for watching four games at the same time. Well, I'll get to watch two at the same time, starting at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. The first one in Charlotte, Carolina Panthers hosting the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Panthers 4.5-point favorites. Total is 37. Detroit is not expected to play their starters. Teddy Bridgewater will get the start. But no starters will be playing for the Detroit Lions. For Carolina, we expect to see their starters because I think they want to get something positive going in this preseason. I'm obviously excited to see Bryce Young, but I'm mainly focusing on that offensive line because they look like they've been getting their tails kicked
right
in both preseason games.
Well, setting the tone. I mean, that certainly puts yourself in that locker room if you're looking to bet this game. Who needs to set the tone? I mean, the Lions, they've already set a tone. They already know what they want to do. They already know what they want to accomplish. They're probably already working on Kansas City.
Yeah.
Right?
It's less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah. So if you're Carolina, you have not established a tone. Frank Wright has not established anything, certainly offensively. And then defensively, just a different attitude, just a different feel for that team. So I understand the spread. I understand why, you know, you look at the numbers, find a 4.5 for Carolina. But Carolina, from the starters on down, they have to establish and set a tone as well as evaluate players because we do have cuts coming up next week. So from a competitive standpoint, Carolina has everything that they need in order to, from an incentive standpoint, to go out there and put together a solid 60 minutes.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how long the Panthers starters will play in tonight's game. Like they're going to start the game, but right. it can always be, maybe it's two series and they get in there, they get some good work. If anything, I would maybe look to bet the under 37 since we're not going to see Detroit starters. Carolina's had their struggles with that offensive line. Maybe this is a little bit lower scoring than the market thinks right now. It's been sitting at 37. It opened at 37. So there's been no real opinion that's been registered into that total. The next game, Patriots Titans. ESPN's Mike Reese, who covers the New England Patriots, says that he would not expect Mac Jones to play in this game because of Mac Jones kind of getting beat up a little bit in week two of the preseason against the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
But maybe we'll see Ezekiel Elliott's debut as a New England Patriot. They're taking on the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill is expected to play maybe a little bit. Then they'll turn the keys over to Malik Willis. No Will Levis in this game, so keep that in mind for the Titans. But the Titans are getting bet as we speak. They opened 1.5-point dogs. They're now 1-point favorites, and I'm seeing even a 2 over at DraftKings. The total is 38.
Makes a ton of sense right there. I mean, from a pick 'em situation now, you're looking at minus 2 there for the Titans, setting the tone, establishing a tone, obviously. You can change pieces, you can change things, but they stay the same in New England. And I know Michael Lombardi's high on the Patriots, but they have offensive line problems. Yep. They got a new offensive coordinator. They have not set a tone, in my opinion, in terms of settling in and establishing that, what they want to do and feeling good and confident about that. Now, they still have some time, but until that offensive line gets together and becomes a unit, I think they're going to continue to have some issues. And we know, even though there's been some good things said about Mac Jones and his maturity here, he has no poise. He has didn't demonstrate that at all last year. And so if he's up against it early, is he going to react to things like he did last year, or is he going to be calmed down and more poised? I'm curious to see that. I haven't seen that yet. Therefore, I'm reluctant to see some improvement from New England. Now, defensively, New England's going to be all that and a bag of chips. So low scoring, what's the total? 38.5?
38.5 in some places, but consensus 38.
I mean, setting a tone and establishing a tone, New England's done that defensively already.
Yeah, if anything, it would be Tennessee money line, maybe. Maybe you can get a cheap money line price on the Titans. I'm seeing the best one is actually over at the South Point, minus 115. Titans on the money line if you want to go ahead and bet that. That's kind of how I would look to play this, because I think the Titans win the game just because I like Malik Willis and what he provides as a backup quarterback in a preseason setting. Yeah. Last game will be the nightcap on the West Coast in the Bay Area. 49ers hosting the Chargers. Niners 7.5-point favorites. We're expecting to see the Niners starters for a little bit in this game. Trey Lance is expected to play in this game. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Chargers, they could not care less about the preseason. That's why they're catching 7.5. Total's 38.
Yeah, not even given. I'm not going to say what I was going to say right there. But,
tell me after the show.
I'll tell you after the show. This is a unique situation for San Francisco. Now, I don't like the number now, 7.5 or something on the screen, but you got Sam Darnold needs to get ready for the season. Because you never know how that throwing elbow is going to be for Purdy. What if he gets hit on it again? Right? I mean, what if somebody's closing in on him? And what is he cringe? I mean, there's so many factors there. And, you know, certainly, does he evolve his game? We don't know that. Darnold's got to get ready. Now, Trey Lance, you need to understand that for you to be a starting quarterback in this league, you need to play very, very well tonight with any opportunity. Because what you need to do is establish some type of intrigue from another team out there that might take a shot on you cheaply, right, from a starting quarterback standpoint. Or you're going to go the Jameis Winston's route, Jameis Winston. Or are you going to go, you know, you're not going to be Josh Rosen out the league. You're going to be Baker Mayfield. You're going to be on your fourth team. Or whatever the case may be, you need to show out, I think, to just have intrigue. So I think Kyle will give him that opportunity too. You know, I'm not worried about injury because, you already have the contingency. This is all about Trey Lance trying to audition for the next situation, up his dollars.
Yeah.
And then certainly help out San Francisco and upping the ability to trade that player as well.
And that showcase and audition may be why we're seeing the total get bet up to 38, opened 36.5. We have 30 seconds left here, Pritch. I told folks in the first hour that I would give out my 18-division parlay. For those of you who stuck around with us in the entire show, this is the dessert right here. So, Pritch, this bet is a $20 bet, pays $212,398.56.
We're going to go to Sizzler if we
We're going to Sizzler. we get this thing. Here are the 8 teams. Jets to win the AFC East. Panthers to win the NFC South, Chiefs to win the AFC West, Steelers to win the AFC North, Jags to win the AFC South, Cowboys to win the NFC East, Packers to win the NFC North, Seahawks to win the NFC West. We're going to Sizzler if that baby cashes this year. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. For Mike Pritchard, for our producer Elliot Bowman, the entire crew behind the glass, I'm Femi Abebefe saying good luck with all the bets. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow morning. VSiN Best Bets coming up next.